That is entertainment, and that is Fionnuala Rabbit I see before me. Good morning, Fionnuala.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. Donna Marie Doherty's there too. Hi, Donna Marie.
Hello.
What's going on?
I know. I've got somebody new to play with today.
What's going on with you?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh.
I heard on the news something yesterday. What in God's name's going on?
Oh, I don't even write that. I never even thought about it, to be honest. I'm just making some little minor small changes to my lifestyle, as everybody knows. And I showed him when he came up, my beautiful grandson is getting bigger and bolder. And please God, in September, he will have a brother or sister. So I just kind of decided, with the license sorted and things like that, that I will be moving and working down in Galway. Mm. So I just felt it was time to kind of give somebody else a go, I suppose.
Now, the obvious choice, I think, for most people listening would have been me. Now, I couldn't have taken it on because of my workload.
That's it, exactly.
So you opted for Sean Quinn.
That's it, exactly. You know, second in our hearts, but not in our minds. Sean has been here and he's done a great job with the sales and things like that. And he's very good. And obviously the sales is such an important part of the station, outside of the, you know, that's what keeps it going, so that we can be what you are, which is the voice of Donegal, or at least what we try to
Caroline,
what we try to be as much as possible.
Said? I'm the voice of Donegal.
Absolutely. Well, Caroline is as well, because she comes up with all of the guests and
so
and
the question. Lots of people are texting in. If moving on, though heavily involved in the station still, it should be said, and Sean Quinn taking over, there's three options, right? Am I less likely, more likely, or equally as likely to be sacked going forward? Is there any very...
Less likely, I would say. Okay, I've got you completely covered.
Could you clip that too, please? Clip that as well, thanks.
Where would we be without you, all fairness? Every morning.
I'm not going to say.
Every morning. Look at your Jane Lawrence. We're great. Again, once again, all your listeners stay with you and growing all the time.
And come here, it's about you, not me. It's good. It's great for you. You've done brilliant up here. It's been fantastic having you for the last 11 years. As I say, you're not going anywhere. You still have an important role, as do the family.
Oh, well, Donegal is unbelievably has such a big part of my heart
but
now.
But with everything going on with you,
so
with your, as you say, your beautiful grandchildren and everything, and you've been through a tough enough time as well, removed from a very supportive family.
Yeah.
So personally, whilst it will be sad not to see you every single day, I'm personally delighted for you. I think it's lovely for you, and I think you deserve it. And you're not going to be... You're not going to be quiet.
No.
You're going to be busy, right? But that being said, it's just nice to have your...
it is. It's just nice to be down and on. But when I have this opportunity now to just say it, I just really want to thank everybody in Donegal, every single person. Whenever I go out and about, people are always so kind. My accent, I think, is a little bit weird. So people recognise me when I speak in the butchers or in the shop, or when I'm out and about, just even, you know, generally doing my own shopping and stuff. And they're always so kind and so nice. And when I go to events and everything like that, I mean, I came up here and it was only going to be for 6 months, and it's been.
But you just couldn't stop updating LinkedIn.
I know. That's it. It's about my CV.
Chamber member.
You know, it's about my
chamber,
CV.
I'm manager. CEO.
I'm all about my CV. I'm going to have it printed on my headstone.
Absolutely ridiculous. But it's been used.
The 10 years that I've been in Donegal have been, I have to say, the best 10 years of my life.
And
almost
a lot went
11.
On in your life too, you know, because I don't mean that.
Oh, no, just
but
even...
But like the 10 years, you know, so we went through
God,
COVID,
went,
you became a granny.
My daughter got married while I was up
issues,
here.
Which, thankfully,
I had,
you're over.
I did.
You know what
I
you
went
mean?
To, had a wonderful time, and I've done loads of different courses. Went to Ulster University and got my MBA and went to college there over time and had, I have to say, I highly recommend the experience. It was fantastic. They're very supportive when you're working and trying to do something like that as well. It was amazing. So it's just for my career growth and my personal growth, my time here in Donegal has just been absolutely fantastic. And then the county is just so gorgeous.
Well, we were asking today, and we can keep it going through this item, what you would do if, you know, we could recommend one thing. Anne Brogan said Murderhole Beach, Melmore. Yeah, Murderhole Beach now is far more accessible, which is great. And we're also talking about the Eurovision Song Contest. Katrina says, the song this year was class, but we need a new venture with big stage presence. I think Greg and Lee Gooch should go through. Get a rake of farmers' foot and turf and sing how wonderful Donegal Ireland is. Throw in a few Irish dancers. Donna Marie, listen, thank you for joining us as well, of course. It's great to have you in subbing for Michael. How are you keeping?
All good.
No
all
news?
Good.
No, all quiet with you?
No, all good, all good. I'm also moving to Galway.
Yes, really? Well, you could have told me off there. There is a structure that often people ignore, but shouldn't. No, I'm only messing. Did you watch the Eurovision last night?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Donna Marie has busy lifestyles.
I casually watched it.
I casually, as in a TikTok, I kind of got the highlights and watched the...
It really cocks on there.
To be honest now, I watched it, but the way I watched it was that I recorded it and then I could kind of skim through the ads and that kind of thing. Because I used to watch it. Mm. And like, I mean, I was one of these people who, you know, begged their mother to make me a Bucks Fizz skirt. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Why could we not have a skirt that you could? You don't remember, you weren't even a thought. Your parents probably weren't even married back in them days, whatever. Didn't even know each other. But what the Bucks Fizz was when
probably
they came on.
Born.
Well, it's close enough.
I'm only joking.
But when they come on with the Bucks Fizz, what they did was they had like a long skirt and they were dancing away, and then suddenly there was two men and two women, and the two guys took a hold of one side of the skirt and the girls twirled and the skirt came off, and then there was a little mini skirt underneath it.
Oh, wow.
We all desperately wanted one in my day.
It was cool.
It was the coolest thing.
Cool,
yeah. Oh my God, it was so cool. And I desperately wanted one. And we used to be, you know, it was one of those things like the Rose of Tralee where you were allowed to stay up late and you got to watch it. And it was so amazing.
Did you used to do the thing, remember when it used to be you'd get a thing in the newspaper, the Santa Pages, and you could write your scores
in? Yeah, you could see what you thought and different things like that.
And
you could write
your scores in and all.
It was like, it was this, the Rose of Tralee and the toy show. They were the things where you actually went to the shop during the day and you got your few sweets and you were allowed to have like a fizzy drink or something like, you know, something like that you wouldn't have. Mm. Again, she's looking at me like as if I'm 175. It's so far removed from her growing up. But it was like one of those kind of event nights. You got to stay up late and you got your sweets and you kind of had your little goodie bag and that kind of thing, and you could, and you'd watch it all away. Mm. What is it now? I don't understand what it is. It's supposed to have been about songs.
It's emerged. But it's not now. It's about performances. It's more camp, obviously.
But then again,
you see, a really top quality ballad can win it now. Or Cha 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 could win it. You know, so I don't know.
It is what it is, but it's a mess. I know, but it used to be that it was a songwriting competition.
That
seems to have gone now, because even with the, obviously there's half of them, or more than half of them, were in languages that I don't know. Mm. But you could kind of tell that there were an awful lot of choruses in it. You know the way, because they're saying the same, you know the way you're hearing the same words or you know, sounds. So you're kind of thinking, all right, well, that's the chorus. And they're repeating. It doesn't seem to have a lot of depth, even with the English one, you know what I mean? Which I didn't think was a bad song. They played it last night. It's What the Hell Happened or something like that.
Is that the man that was upside down?
No.
That was wild.
Is that the Australian guy that was upside down?
Oh, maybe it was.
I think it might have been him. And then there was one of the guys that got through that was from one of the Eastern European countries. And he had his shirt off and he was like as if he was covered in coal dust.
And he was running, wasn't he?
He was running on the spot.
So
I'd love to know what that song was about.
What do you think the Eurovision Song Contest is?
I think I think with social media, it's all changed and it's really become about the personality of the people performing it. And I think that's maybe where Emmy missed out, because anything I've seen from the Eurovision this year has been the song Servant. It was Malta's entry, which is so, like, that's going to be a massive TikTok sound now in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'd say. You know, it has such a hook on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also... is it Estonia? Your man that was like, he's standing in front of a shop and he had four dancers.
That was the night before.
I saw that one.
Yeah, they had that one.
That was on the Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're dressed up in kind of like swimsuits or something like that. They're half dressed. Yeah.
And then there was a Jago as well. I'm not too sure what country it was. But they think that it was a four piece, but they have a massive social media presence. So they do, like, whenever you look up Eurovision, it's just their actual own account. Mm. So I think that has a massive factor in it. But I suppose looking back on us, whenever we had Jedward and we did very well both times, but it was personality.
I think it's just hit and miss. And I think it's great competition when we're in it and we're progressing. And I think it's crap when we're not in it. And that's how fickle I am.
It's not that I thought it was bad. It's like there were some amazing singers in it. There were some amazing female singers and they were hitting the notes and that kind of thing. And Austria had I'm going to say young man, but I'm not 100% sure, but has an act in which the singing was phenomenal. It was kind of nearly operatic. At one, you know, the way it sort of went into this like high operatic kind of a thing.
It's one of them every year where the vocal range is huge.
So it's not that it was bad, if you know what I mean. It's just that you're kind of like going, if I was sitting at home and I was saying I'm definitely going to go into the Eurovision next year, I'm not 100% sure. Is it about the song? Mm. Is it about the quality of the singer? Is it about, as you say,
we have to decide that and then fashion whatever it might be. I think it needs to go back to an open song contest around the country like it used to. If we're going to have fun with it, and it is only fun, listen, we know more than anything that there's far more serious things to be talking about, but I need at times something that's not the serious stuff. And sometimes it's the darts, sometimes it's snooker, sometimes it's football, sometimes it's Eurovision, sometimes it's Big Brother.
I would love to go. It looks like so much fun.
Need to have a national competition whereby we're not fed four or five songs and then you watch RTE, because Samantha Mumba would never have been there if the public were deciding something, though I think she might have finished second. But, you know, just like, so who could enter? We're going to have a young lad coming in to sing for sure shortly. Why can't his song be?
Well, even like we do the thing, and not just us, but all the radio stations do the
local music hero
and that kind of thing. And like, it's amazing the singer-songwriters that come out of that. And like, not saying anything about Emmy, obviously I don't know a lot about her, but and I don't want to sound as if I don't. When I say that she's not Irish, I don't think she's actually been to Ireland previous to this Eurovision. And you're kind of like, one of the songwriters apparently, there's like four or five of them that wrote the song, which in fairness, I'm sorry now.
I'm going to go na 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 na. Now, what do you think should come next? Well, I was thinking na 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 na. What about you? Well, have you considered na na?
It is very much about the hook.
How do five people sit around?
I don't know how they all came up with it. But and that's what I mean, is it, she, you know, when you think of all the talent that comes out of like something like, you know, we had amazing talent here in Donegal from that, and equally other radio stations around the country had the similar, you know what I mean, had a similar, if not maybe a few less, but they still had some great talent coming through. And you're kind of, how did we end up with a very talented young woman, not doubting her talent or ability, but a tentative connection to
Can you even
Ireland?
Sort of geo-block it now, because we're in Europe? Listen, we will move on, but one of the greatest things ever come out of the Eurovision, particularly in Ireland, was Riverdance. And would you believe, it's Riverdance 30 now, and there's a new generation, and they're equally as talented, and the show's equally as big. And it's on in Dublin. It's on in Dublin on the 28th of August. Now, do you want to go and try and source your own ticket, your own accommodation, your own parking, free time in Dublin? No, you don't, because we'll do that for you. So what we're doing is we have a package for you whereby we'll pick you up in a beautiful coach, it even has USB chargers in it, and we'll take you down to Dublin and book you into the 4-star Grand Canal Hotel in the heart of Dublin. You get bed and breakfast as well. Then we have some great tickets for the show, and we'll even allow you a bit of free time, because you're in the heart of Dublin, to go and explore. So this is part of a trip we're taking down on Thursday the 28th of August. There is limited availability on this. And if you break it down, this represents really good value for money. €249 per person sharing. And you can give us €100 now, and that will secure your spot and then sort it out the closer we get to the time. So if you want information on how you can go and see Riverdance and relive one of the highlights of Ireland in the Eurovision, give us a call now, 07491 25000, or visit highlandradio.com. Maybe there's a wedding or an anniversary, or maybe you and a mate just want to go and see a big show experience. experience in the Gaiety. You can call us now and we'll bring you in for one then. Right, lots more to come from Fionnuala and from Donna Marie after we take this quick break.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
I'm going to be asking Donna Marie and Fionnuala if they could pick one thing to do in Donegal, what would it be shortly? And we're going to talk about some TV and stage and cinema stuff as well. But listeners have been texting in their droves. Glenveagh, the jewel in the crown of attractions in Donegal. Very tempted to go there on Monday, maybe. I know people are very critical of the Fannad Bridge, but it is the most beautiful view ever seen. That bridge is beautiful, and the people of Fannad deserve it as well, and I will. It's a hill I'm prepared to die on. Malinhead, the Wall, a pack away, Mamore Gap, and on to Fort Dundee, or any corner you turn, we have the most beautiful county. And I mentioned you a little earlier on, you are now in love with wild alpacas, I think, or at least those around you
As I said last time, my mother is obsessed that all of her grandchildren must go and do it, and we did it last weekend, and it was beautiful. Beautiful. And then we went, which I hadn't been to before, which was Culdaff Beach, which is a blue flag beach that they have up there. Stunning. Oh my God. Every time you turned around a corner, as I keep saying about this county, it'd take the eye out of your head. Every time you turn a corner, you think you've seen the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And then you go around the next corner and it's even nicer. Mm-hmm. But it was fabulous up around Inishowen there last weekend. Absolutely gorgeous. So,
all right, okay. Pollen Arch is open, which is great. Great pathway made to it. But for a great time, take a trip on the boat from Teeling to under the cliffs at Sleeve League and then on to Glencolumbkill and the Folk Village. I am sure I was offered a freebie boat trip to see the Sleeve League.
They were one of the winners of one of our
maybe that's where it was.
Customer service awards.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, maybe we all had a pint. Very disappointed for Ireland, though it had a great chance. Some of the songs were terrible. I'm from Derry and I just love the alpacas in Donegal. Wild Ireland, another wonderful experience. See the otters for the first time. I've never been to Wild Ireland either. Visit Swan Park in Buncrana and then the beautiful walks, white sandy beaches and so many lovely restaurants. You won't be disappointed. Visit Donree Fort, lovely beaches, great walks, nice cafe for your cuppa. This would be a wonderful day out. Head to Ardnagana, the crossroads. There's a lot of nice people and the river is fantastic. Let me see. There's some of these sun contests one. A day in Maville with lunch in Norris's coffee shop. Homemade sausage rolls is a must. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time around Maville. Then that's a hedge and a hilly, which we'll get to. Right, okay. So, Donna Marie, where's your favourite place in Donegal to visit?
I love Fannad. I love Fannad so much. But me and my friends, like, go there every summer. One of the girls has a mobile. So it's just... one of those things that is just so special. I also love Rathmullen. I think, you know, they have this chip van there and it's just something about chips.
Delish.
Yeah, seaside chips, on the beach.
In a bag with so much vinegar in that the bag begins to lose its integrity.
And then for something different as well, there's a lady who does, her name's Julie Carr. You can follow her on TikTok, but sometimes she does like foraging excursions. You go with her and forage and then you like make this, cook with the stuff that you get. It's really cool.
Oh, that is interesting.
And what about you? Have you yet to pick one thing, Fionnuala? Now you can routinely offend people.
I know.
Joke.
I love everything up here.
I
love Fannad is beautiful. I love, I think Malin is stunning. It's like one of those places that you kind of think, what is it?
Yeah.
Like as in there's nothing there, there's stones in the ground. And yet when you go there, it's nearly like an emotional experience. Yeah. It's so beautiful up there. I love, obviously, the wild alpacas. But we did one time is we went out to Arranmore Island and we searched and searched and searched and we finally found there's like 100 or 200 steps that you go
down
to the water. Oh my God, it was just beautiful.
Bring a spare pair of undies though. I didn't like that. Did you get down walking or slide down on your bum?
No, we didn't. We walked down. Okay. Now, it was so funny because I was there with my mother, who obviously...
When you're a kid coming
down
the
My mother
stairs.
Was like a goat going up and down it, whereas I had all the... anybody that was there was, would you like a hand, ma'am? whereas my mother was up and down before I'd even gotten to the bottom. She's brilliant. But it was just beautiful. And you literally got to the bottom and all you wanted to do was to strip off and jump into the water.
Well, Arranmore is spectacular. I love it and I always have, and I haven't been out there since before COVID, would you believe, but I did to get out to, and I'm starting to think I'm an islands person now because I went out to Tory last year.
That is, I've missed Tory and I'm going to have to do some.
It is beautiful. It's a lovely trip out. It's a long enough trip out, longer than Arran, more. But we were there when the Puffins were there as well.
Oh, wow.
And you know, you come off of the pier, and there's just something about stepping off the pier. There's something about stepping off the pier to get onto the boat. But then when you get there, stepping off the boat to get onto the pier, and you go left, and there's a wonderful lighthouse. I'm nonplussed about lighthouses, but people seem to love them. And then you walk past the beautiful old remaining architecture that's there. Beautiful hotel there. We had something to eat. I think it was fish and chips, actually. It was lovely. And then you go on up the other direction. It's a tight enough walk, but you need to allow yourself some time, is what I'm saying. And then you come to these cliffs, you know, these just sheer drops with all these birds and wildlife. And you just know the next thing from here is an awful long way away. And the people are lovely. And they listen to Island Radio as well, too, which find extra special. So Tory Island is definitely one someone should do. Arranmore Island, I can't wait to get back, trying to get it sorted and stuff. Maybe wait till Hudson's a little bit older, but brilliant stuff. All right, keep your suggestions of what's beautiful in Donegal, what we should be doing, because we're enjoying such fantastic weather. You know, if we're fit enough to do so, we should definitely not waste that and go out and explore. And you don't always have to spend money. Right, Don't Tell the Wife is not a plea. It's something that is on in the Bala Theatre.
Oh, it is incredible. I went to go see it last night. My face hurt from laughing. So the premises of it is that there's a nosy neighbour who loves a wee gossip, and she's in getting her hair done with the doll down the road, and they start chatting about, oh, did you hear that Mrs. So-and-so's husband's out and he's not being good, and it's this whole like, oh my goodness, can you believe that? That's scandalous. And she goes, oh, you know, that dangerous age, you know, whenever they get to 50. And lo and behold, the main lady in it called, I was going to call her Edna, is like, oh, Bobby turns 50 on Thursday, and shenanigans ensue. It's a real easy laugh. You know, when you go in and you're not having to think about who's who, and you know, it's so funny. It's just like a series of mishaps, and it all comes together so well. So it does. But they're last night's tonight. So if you're looking for something a bit different to do, I definitely recommend it. Just real. It's like physical comedy. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Is it a local group that's doing it?
Yeah, it's the Ballard DCA. So a lot of people who like they're stalwarts, but they haven't done anything in a while. You know, a lot of people. So I know them from being about the theatre, but never got to see them anything. So Brenda Lucas. It's her first time back on stage in ages. Oh my goodness.
Brilliant. She's okay. So tonight's your last night for that. Don't Tell the Wife in the Ballard Theatre. Sounds like it was a great laugh.
Oh, God, it was brilliant. So it was.
There's a few documentaries have landed on Netflix. Unfortunately, none of you've watched them. There's the new one on the that Corbett case that's really quite familiar.
That's when
you
and Michaela were on about. Yeah.
It's very interesting. And Fred and Rose West, there's one focusing on them as well.
I know. Well, the Fred and Rose West one, I did look at that one. No, but I did look at it, but I've seen so many of them. I kind of was thinking, it's, sort of feel like you've known everything about them at this point because there's so much through it.
The Fred and Rose West one is light on stuff. It is, you know, there's not an awful lot of content to it. I mean, it's shocking.
100%. I mean, the whole
shocking,
case.
Shocking, yeah, but
well, and I suppose it probably is
there.
A new a generation of people that don't know a lot about it.
For sure, like it's a bizarre, bizarre story. But what you have watched is Apple Cider Vinegar. Now, there's a drama of this, and then there's a documentary. Is this drama?
I watched the drama, which is the four part, but it's both based on exactly the same thing. The drama, they kind of changed the name slightly, but you know what it is. And there's actually two of them that I watched, because I watched Apple Cider Vinegar, and then I watched Devil in the Family, which is on Disney. And both of them kind of at the core is about the same thing. And it's about influencers. And so many times these influencers come out and, you know, people start, and I don't mean to do it, your generation in particular are big into it.
Yeah.
And they find these people and they like follow it, and it's like all of a sudden everything that they say, some people seem to think everything that they say has to be the truth and has to be gospel. And now all of a sudden, you know, we've gone enough of a length of time with that being in our culture and in the zeitgeist that suddenly you're finding out these crazy stories behind some of these influencers. Apple Cider Vinegar is an amazing drama kind of documentary in the sense that it is based on a true story. The true story is about Belle Gibson, who was an Australian young woman who told people on Instagram. I suppose it was Instagram at the time was would have been the main one, that she was recovering from like a stage 4 brain cancer, and that apple cider vinegar was the main thing that she had done, and came out with all these health thing, and there was a few other people that were equally in it. It was like she was kind of friends with somebody who was going through her cancer journey and who was trying to do it all health wise and only going with health kind of remedies that were sort of like online remedies or what do they call
natural,
it kind of like
holistic.
yeah but not even like going to a naturopath. There was more like, you know, oh, my mother says if you, you know, rub salt on it, it'll be, you know, that'll get rid of it. Those type of things, rather than actually go to see an actual naturopath. But, and then, so it's, and this girl came up then and she had millions and millions of people following her and listening to her. And they all seemed to believe absolutely everything that she said. And regardless of the fact that she looked perfectly healthy, she in no way ever got ill. She started to bring her family into it and that kind of thing. In real life, it ended up with a whole court case and her being sued, and she was selling products and the money was supposed to be going to other things. And it just was an interesting one for me because I knew I'd heard of it, but you kind of get in the background of it. And it was just, to me, it's, I suppose I'm not of that generation that just decides that everybody else is smarter or living a better life than me. So I found that interesting. And then the devil in the family, other people might have heard of her. Her name is Ruby Frankie. And she was an American living in Salt Lake, did a big family vlog that started off as a vlog and then it went into a whole big vlog thing. And then she kind of went down, it suddenly, on one of her posts, she was talking about disciplining her children, and one of her sons mentioned that he had gotten into trouble for being a bit wild. Now, I think his wild was that he answered back and he wasn't doing well in school. It wasn't like as if he was off, you know, selling drugs down to the local store or anything like that. And he had had his bed taken away from him for 6 months. He was left to sleep on the floor in the garage, and the internet, as it does, turned against her. And so she went off and tried to find another way onto it and went down a crazy path to the point that she's after getting, I think, life in jail.
She couldn't resist the engagements.
Notoriety. Yeah. Oh, God. It just became obsessed with it, became obsessed with the children being involved in it, just became, the likes became her whole focus.
Yeah.
And then she kind of went down this path to the point that her children were found to be one of them. Actually, I know people might have seen it on the news. It was her son that showed up at the neighbor's house in Las Vegas, and that he and his sister had both been severely abused.
Yeah,
and the father had kind of walked away from it, and it was the whole story is just insane.
I think it's good to see that stuff because, you know, you have to know what's going on.
Well, I think you need for every bad apple, there's probably 10 people that are with best intentions.
But the difficulty is that you talked about how influencers, the rise of influencers. It could be makeup, it could be political, but what happens is they gather an army effectively, and it's very hard to criticize them because what they do is they try and ratio you. They turn their supporters against you, and what happens is people are afraid to call stuff out. Self-supporting.
This has come up so much along the way. And look, I've no problem with anybody following influencers. You know, we all do it in our day-to-day lives. We have people that influence us on a day-to-day, you know, in real life and that kind of thing. But I think you need to be realizing that because they're an influencer, because they have a platform, does not make them God.
No.
Does not make everything they say. Yeah. You know, so many of these things are coming up now because influencing has become a thing. It's been at least 10 years.
It's money.
And, you know, and it is something that people are making money off. They're building lifestyles off it.
If you look at the Tate brothers, you look at Andrew Tate, his business.
Yeah.
So whether you like him or not, whether you think that he's an alpha male and you want to listen to him or you don't, it doesn't matter. Because either way, your eyes are on him. That is his business.
Line in his pockets.
You are the product.
There's also something to be said, though, about family channels and whenever it is a business and child labour laws. You know, how many hours goes into children performing, essentially.
This happened with the Frankies was because when they started, all the kids were small. And obviously they thought it was hilarious, you know, the way they were playing. And so, but as they suddenly became teenagers and then people started commenting on the children.
They're as a business, they're part of the business.
They're part of the business, but they started reaching where they were more self-conscious, that their friends were aware, you know, and as you're heading into your tween, you know, your tween and into your teen years, it is a very difficult time for everybody, as in, you know, you're trying to find yourself.
Were they the family that they got one of the daughters to, like, they vlogged her first date?
Oh, and
they tried to set her up with
They did everything. And the girls tried to get out of it, and all.
That was awful.
It's just great, but it's worth watching.
Okay, that's apple cider vinegar. The Belle Gibson. It's a drama. But it's based on a real story, and that story has also been documented. Devil in the Family is a straight-up documentary.
Straight-up documentary. Okay. And it's very well done as well. It's, you know, they're talking to the older children, they're talking to family, neighbours, all this kind of thing, who could see it spiralling out of control. Yeah. So it's an interesting one, too.
And the thing about the Corbett documentary as well, An American Murder, story. I think it's called. It's terrible. But they have the dad, Tom, who was convicted of the murder. They have the wife at the time, whose name just escapes him at the moment. They have access to the two children who grew up through this. It really is a robust telling of the story, you know. And the daughter has a book out, actually. I think she might be coming up on the show in the not-too-distant future, not today, but in time to come. Right, you're listening to Donna Marie Doherty. You are listening to Fionnuala Rabbit, and you're going to be listening to some live music after the break, and then we'll be rejoined by the two. But I just want to let you know that John Breslin's broadcasting live around the Northwest today from iMotors up in Drumkeen. It's for a special 252 open weekend and follows on from a hugely successful motor show last week. The showroom, no doubt, will be buzzing with excitement as customers get a chance to explore the latest Kia and Nissan ranges, take advantage of exclusive weekend offers and place their 252 orders. And there's loads of second-hand vehicles there outside of those two as well. There's plenty to be seen up at Drumkeen. You can have that one, Seamus. There's plenty to be seen at Drumkeen. You can use that. I won't charge. The event will run all weekend. They're open Saturday 10 to 5, Sunday 12 noon to 4pm. Adding to the atmosphere, Donegal GEA legend Michael Murphy will be on site tomorrow, Saturday from 11am to 3pm, proudly accompanied by the Anglo Celt Cup. What a little exclusive that is for them. Obviously, their relationship with Michael Murphy's on running. They stuck through him with his retirement, and then they come back, and now he's turning up with the Ulster Final Cup, which is really actually quite a remarkable story in and of itself. So stay tuned. John Breslin will tell you all about that. Luke Gallagher's from Brinalec in Gweedore, and he's in Letterkenny because he's a singer-songwriter. Good morning to you. How are you getting on, Luke? Good to have you in.
Hello, not so bad. Thank you very much for having me. Hey, thank you.
You're first in here. Coming home to Donegal, you have a new song out. It's about Sam coming back to Donegal. Could we make it three?
That was the plan. That was the plan, yeah.
All right. Now, you come from good heritage, don't you? Peter is in Goats Don't Shave. That's your uncle.
Yeah, that's my uncle. He kind of got me introduced to music, and didn't really... I wasn't too mad in it when I was at school. I just kind of picked it up kind of after school and just kind of run from there.
And you self-taught the guitar. Does that really happen? What do you mean self-taught?
You just kind of...
You must have looked at some stuff as well, did you? Or did you just have a good ear for it, maybe?
You do. You can look at YouTube and you can look at all the rest and you learn songs that you like to learn, like to play.
But you're not taught formally and then you sort of put your own style onto it, all right?
Yeah.
And you're gigging as well. You're a busy lad. You're a spark during the day and performer at night.
Yeah, I'm a phase three electrical apprentice as well. So we do that and then we do a wee bit of gigging in the evenings.
Very good. Where do you be playing?
A couple of pubs around Gweedore. The furthest I've gotten out from Gweedore scene would be Milford, Dusty's Bar in Milford.
Brilliant.
And just the usual ones in Gweedore, Chamakish. Because
you have to have a good block of music, don't you? You know, there's no point learning five songs off here. You're doing a gig. You need to, firstly, you have to have the confidence and the gear, but you need to be able to sort of maybe adjust for the crowd or whatever.
You need the crowd pleasers.
Chuck in some of your own stuff? I know you like writing your own material as well. Do you try out some of your material in gigs or do you play it by ear?
The odd time. This free Donegal song was going all right now for the past few gigs I was at there. So, yeah, the odd time. But, yeah, you have to kind of stick to the crowd pleasers as well.
Exactly. Now, what about social media? Do you use that to your advantage much?
I probably could be a lot better on the social media. I have the TikTok. There's a lot to keep up with. I have the TikTok and the Instagram going. I could probably be a bit better on the Facebook with advertising and things, but I do have them.
Good stuff. Luke Gallagher, search Luke Gallagher.
Yeah, just search Luke Gallagher.
Right, now, you've written a song about GEA, but by your own admission, you support GEA, right? But you aren't the number one fan, are you?
Well,
like, could we dig into some GA history and I could quiz you? Should I get Oshie Kelly and he can see if he can?
No, that would be a hanging. Unless he's coming in with a banjo.
Same man could land him with anything. So, coming home to Donegal, should we hear it then? That guitar, it's smaller than guitars I've seen in here before. What is the difference in terms of size? Is it just mobility or sound or
it's
what?
It's mobility. I like the wee, there's a crispy wee sound to it. It's nice on the treble side of things. Mm. And this is my wee gig guitar head. I take it everywhere with me. It's a handy wee one.
Has it paid you back?
It has.
All right, Luke Gallagher from Bryn Aleck and Gwydor, a singer-songwriter and a busy electrician as well when he's not performing. He's written a song. We are the Ulster champions now. Hey, why don't we just go and win it again? This is his song, Coming Home to Donegal.
Thank you very much, Greg. You've been blessed here. He's been on the books, he's read the rags and he's wrote them once before. But behind the scenes and on the greens, he's playing them like they've never been played before. And so I heard from Pat the Goat when he made his way back home from Aaron Moore. Upon those empty barrels of beer, there was one he carved his name and up Donegal. Cause I'm still the favourite up on top position, and Boyle Sports has it out for 2% commission, and Jim sends his condolences out to one and all. Cause it's coming home to Donegal. He's hung up the boots cause he heard there was a new kid on the block. No, as rumour has it, there was a guitar found in customs down in Knock. Cause I'm still the favourite up on top position, and Boyle Sports has it out for 2% commission, Jim sends his condolences out to one and all. Cause it's coming home to Donegal. Oh, Jimmy got him all, Jimmy gonna beat him all. Oh, Jimmy got a plan, Jimmy gonna get the Sam. Oh, Jimmy got him all, Jimmy gonna beat him all. Oh, Jimmy got him all, bring him back to Donegal. Oh, Jimmy got him all, Jimmy gonna beat him all. Oh, Jimmy got a plan, Jimmy gonna get the Sam. Oh, Jimmy got him all, Jimmy gonna beat him all. Oh, Jimmy got him all, bring him back to Donegal. Cause I'm still the favourite up on top position, Boyle Sports has it out for 2% commission, Jim sends his condolences out to one and all. Cause it's coming home to Donegal.
Luke Gallagher, well done. It's clever, actually. It's not your standard, not that there's any harm in that. It's not your standard song. It's a bit clever with the lyrics. Is that also, I hope it's not, is that also a Rory Gallagher diss track? Which Rory's retired?
Your man from the original Jimmy's one in Matches.
That's what I'm saying, so Rory Gallagher. It's a diss track.
So here we go now.
So he's going to release one. He's going to release one in Lanzarote about this upstart Luke from West Donegal.
Hopefully he hears that now.
Oh, he'll hear it. Don't worry about it. No, it is. It's good. It's cool. All right, brilliant stuff. It sounds great, Luke. And as I say, it's clever. You know what I mean?
I had to include him.
Of course it is. It's cool, but it's also got a bit of edge to it. Listen, thanks so much for calling up. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
And he gives coming up this weekend, or if you're a weekend off?
Any gigs coming up this weekend? Where am I this weekend? I think I'm in Farragh's in the Kirch, in Gador direction. And that's on tomorrow night, I think.
Brilliant.
And then, yeah.
What's your, what song goes down the best on your gigs?
What song was in the best? Hey, a lot of crowd pleasers. Hey, they like The Gambler. They like Travelling Soldier. That's always a wee safety net.
And what if you want to get them up dancing?
Dirty Old Town.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Do you have to move that thingamajig to play a couple of lines of that?
You do. I like to keep it in F sharp major, but yeah.
What would you play? Do you want? Give us a couple. Give us a verse and a chorus.
By the gasworks wall, I dreamed a dream. By the old canal, for I kissed my girl. By the factory wall, for it's a dirty old town. For it's a dirty old town.
And you give it a wee bit of.
For I met my love by the gasworks wall. I dreamed a dream by the old canal. For I kissed my girl by the gasworks walls. For it's a dirty old town. For it's a dirty old town.
Well done, Luke. Self-taught, my word. It sounds fantastic. People think there's 2 or 3 years. Well done. So we're not going to pay you for one song, so now we're not paying you for 1.5. Come here. Good luck with the gigs. Good luck with the gigs. Good luck with the track. You have it recorded, do you?
Yeah, it's recorded, and you can get it on YouTube. Just throw in Luke Gallagher coming in at home to Donegal.
Well done.
And all those things, yeah.
Good stuff, Luke. All right, take care of yourself.
Thank you very much.
Well done, and continued success. Well done to Luke. Great lad. Sarah Divercourt says the same. Great song from Sarah, Thomas and the Boys. He's really talented. And he came over to perform that for us, and I like it. And I like the way, not dig, there's nothing negative in it, but the way reference to Rory Gallagher, actually recognising that he sort of, I suppose in more recent times, blazed the trail in anthems. So it's clever. I like that cleverness of it. Now, something's happening, which I don't believe has happened before, and it seems really quite remarkable that it hasn't, Donna Marie Doherty, and that's a crossover between Corras and Emmerdale.
I know. So it's meant to be happening next year. I don't know how they're going to do it, though, because at the start, whenever I seen it, I was like, oh my God, that's going to be incredible.
It's going to be, bus trip into the area, or key characters both end up in Butlins. That's the only way they can do it.
But there's an interactive element, so you can choose a character from each who cross over.
Yes.
So from what I've read, it seems to be that they say that it'll be largely self-contained. So I'm like, will it be like 2 episodes kind of intertwined together, and then there's one crossover between 2 characters. I think it's going to be great, though. There's meant to be a ambitious stunt. So I'm trying to think. There's no rail in Emmerdale,
I really, really think that the soap should avoid stunts, because they always tend to be an absolute crap.
Oh, Emmerdale are so good at it.
No, they're brilliant.
Oh my God, Emmerdale when Emmerdale used to be called, again, back in the day, Emmerdale Farm. Amazing. I loved it. I used to watch it all the time then. And it was basically very much kind of like, it was almost like the English version of Glenroe. You know, that kind of way, like a set sort of rural. Uh-huh. There was always, you know, most of them were farming and farming background, and you had the pub, and the guy in the pub had the chops. Was that what they used to call it?
Yeah.
He had the big hair. And anyways, and it was amazing, but it was kind of like that now, like an English version of Glenroe, kind of an idea. And then they decided that the ratings were going kind of like late 80s or early 90s, they decided the ratings were getting a bit bad, so they wanted to shake it up a bit. So they decided that they were going to drop the farm and become Emmerdale. And in order to achieve this transformation of the town, they dropped a plane into the middle.
I remember it.
It was amazing. And I mean, I know, obviously, sadly, that's happened in the real world.
I know.
But that was hadn't happened in the real world prior to that, so it wasn't like a thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was like, there was even
been pre-Lockerbie and stuff, because it could have been impossible to do it
was, yes, it was absolutely, it was all of that kind of thing. So it was just like the craziest thing in the world.
Emmerdale does it well. I think one of my favourite soap stunts that I've ever seen, I don't even watch Emmerdale, but it comes up on my TikTok every 3 months and I sit and watch the whole thing. It's the where there was a wedding and she was on like a highway, the bride, and her groom had fallen out. But there was an accident down below, but then they could see their entire wedding guests, so the entire town coming, but it was on a bend. and it was like a 10-car pileup of all
both
of their
of
guests.
Both of you are banging the desk, which I find remarkable considering you're both radio people. I better squeeze Kevin in here. High voice of Donegal. Maybe that could catch on. And the TV too, the TV duo. I tuned into the start of the Eurovision with Australia's Milkshake Man, an Ireland entry too about a dog that met its demise in space. Ye can't get more Eurovision than that, but tape the rest and we'll tune in later. But for some reason, skyboxes all over Ireland started shutting down before the vote, and I had to restart them as other people were watching normal telly, quite true. As the last thing I saw was the host with the high wattage dress trying to eat fondue badly with a singer.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of erotic, I thought that was, but anyway. someone out there doesn't like a Eurovision. What's another year as we shed another tear?
I don't know what happened with the Eurovision, because I had it taped as well, and mine knocked off.
The Sky boxes were going down. It's a big outage from Sky.
Well, I know. Well, my Sky box didn't go off at all, because I was watching something else while I was recording it. And what happened was, is it actually RTE had it set badly in the timing, because
it
ended right when the first time, because the way they did it in the end was they put three pictures of the three
That's
countries,
right, yes.
And then they told you one of those, but it didn't mean you were out. It just meant, so they kept coming up. But obviously after Ireland kind of came up twice, and then wasn't, you were like,
tonight, wasn't
it,
good,
you just knew the chances were very slim then. But in, so I, it cut out just the first time, halfway through the voting and the first time Ireland came up. So I went over to the RTE player and I said, I'll just watch the end of it on the RTE player just to see. And actually the RTE player cut out 2 minutes earlier.
It's a conspiracy.
So I was like, this is very
whatever
bizarre.
They're pumping into the skies is definitely not helping the situation.
So it was very
Donna
good.
Marie, thank you so much for making your way from the newsroom. I'll let you get back.
Thank you so
it's been lovely having you in. Fionnuala, I think you're away next Friday, but you're back the following Friday.
Yes, I've Holy Communions next Friday. So.
Yes, indeed. Okay, listen, just to remind you, John Breslin's live around the Northwest from My Motor's Drumkeen. It's all to be seen in Drumkeen for a special 252 open weekend. So that's from 12 o'clock. So some chat, some car chat, of course, some great guests and great music, as always. You know what you're getting with John. But for me, Greg Hughes, Fionnuala Abbott, Donna Marie Doherty, have a fantastic weekend. We'll chat to you at the start of next week.